As we journey through the Bible together, we do want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and the phone number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. Also, we have access to the internet, and so if you'd like to drop us an email, then send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. By the way, it's been a while since we've received an email, so some of you guys that are out there in front of your computers, send us an email real quick at keqx@rocketmail.com. What we're doing is going through and reviewing a tract by a man by the name of Richard W. DeHaan, and it's on baptism and the Lord's Supper. And this was a tract that was given to someone, I believe, by someone who was a member of the Cowboy Church, or at least they picked it up at a wedding or something like that, gave it to David and said, David, we would like for you to look at this and give us what the Bible actually says about baptism. And so that's what we're trying to do. And as we came off our break just a moment ago, we were looking at the fact that in this track on page number 9, this man says, I'm going to consider these questions. Does baptism save? Does it wash away sins? Does it contribute in any way to the new birth? Well, friends, this is really not rocket science. And so let's just look at those questions and notice what the Bible says. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Now here's the question. Does baptism save? You've heard what men have to say. Now let's see what the Bible says. Now watch what it says, 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, David, what were they saved by?
Water.
Water. Now, what is that, H2O?
H2O.
Okay, water.
Lots of it.
They were saved by water. Now, listen to verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us. And then he says, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You're not taking a bath. But it is the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, in answer to that first question, yes, baptism saves us.
Well, in both verses there, water is the line of demarcation between those that were saved and those that were lost.
That's exactly right.
In both verses.
That's right. And friends, not only that, in this track, and we didn't even have deal with this, but he mentions 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Bible says that the children of Israel were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized unto Moses. And he tried to argue that baptism didn't save. But friends, if you go back and you look at Exodus chapter 14, where the Bible gives the account of them crossing the Red Sea, and they came up on the other side, and in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30, the Bible says, thus God saved Israel that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were saved when they went through the Red Sea, and then Paul likens that to our baptism.
Yes, and not only that, just as the baptism that we go through washes away sin, so did the baptism that they went through wash away all of the individuals that were following them to put them back into slavery, all of the Egyptians.
That's right. That's right.
Again, the water was the line of demarcation between those that were saved and those that were lost.
Now, friends, his second question, does it wash away sins? Well, David read just a moment ago in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So if we allow the Bible to answer that question, does the Bible say that baptism washes away our sins, David?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, this is not rocket science. And by the way, we had a call during the break, and the caller asked about the new birth as recorded in John chapter 3. So, friends, let's turn over to John chapter 3. And we want to notice what happens in John chapter 3, because the third question that this man asks, does it, that's baptism, contribute in any way to the new birth? Well, David, it doesn't contribute to the new birth. Baptism is the new birth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, John chapter 3, Now notice what happens. Verse 1, there was a man, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So what is he talking about there, David? In verse 4, Nicodemus asked what?
Baptism.
Okay.
What's he talking about? Baptism.
Okay. But no, Nicodemus said, Can I go back into my mother's womb? That's the question.
Oh, okay. Well,
the original birth.
No.
So he's talking about, well, can I go back into my, Jesus, what do you mean I must be born again? Do I get back inside my mother's womb and then be born? But listen to what Jesus said, and this is what David's talking about. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be born of water, friends, is to be born of the watery grave of baptism. Now, that's what Jesus said. So does baptism contribute in any way to the new birth? Friends, it is the new birth. That's what Jesus said.
Absolutely.
And you know what, David? As you look at this, I find it interesting that Jesus, in conversing with this man who was a teacher of the law, who should have known the law, Jesus starts with baptism. He's confused by that. And so then Jesus goes in and says in John 3 and verse 16, well, you got to believe. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is telling him, friends, because he didn't understand, Jesus has to back up and say, whoa, I got to go all the way back with this man and get him to understand, he that believeth and is baptized. Jesus starts with baptism. He doesn't understand it. So Jesus backs up and says, well, you've got to believe. So here is a teacher of the Jews who didn't understand what Jesus said. So he takes him right back to belief, but he couples it with baptism.
Now, I got a question for you here, Kerry.
Okay.
In John chapter 3 and verse 5, when he says, Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How important is it to enter into the kingdom of God?
Well, you can't go to heaven without being in the kingdom of God.
Okay, so if you're not baptized, did I have anything with you going to heaven?
Well, it has everything to do with you going to heaven.
The new birth.
The new birth.
The new birth.
The new
and
birth.
So what we see here again is not only the fact that it is the new birth, but it also saves you. It also puts you in heaven. You can't be saved outside of heaven. You can't be saved outside of the kingdom.
That's right.
There is absolutely no way that you can. As a matter of fact, we go back over here to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26 and 27. Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, through Paul, writes to the church at Galatia, or the churches in Galatia. In verse 26, he says, For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So this belief in the system of Jesus the Christ, along with his plan of salvation, which came before the foundation of the world, by the way. This is no afterthought.
That's right.
And what didn't just jump up here in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 tells us it was before the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God. And so here we have God's plan of salvation. In verse 26, it says, For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is no other way that I can put Christ on except through baptism. I cannot pray him on. I cannot wish him on. I cannot repent him on. And so what we have here is a big problem when someone says that you cannot be saved. Hello. Caller, what is your name? Sound like Jim.
Yeah, it's Jim.
All right, Jim.
I was just thinking, as I've been listening to you guys here, isn't it, it's both interesting and sad that people will claim a degree of religion, and yet the very things that they espouse or preach or write shows that they do not believe 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
They add to, they change, and yet many probably good and honest people will believe some of this stuff and rely on those who are writing and telling them such things, so that they won't look for the scriptures for themselves, and that's a very sad thing. And I guess that's where those of us who believe that the Word of God is inspired and it is inerrant, and the only way that we can get to heaven is by being obedient to the New Testament. We got a job to do, and you guys are doing a good job of it. But of course, Christ in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7-9, he alluded to this. This is coming.
True. Very true. He sure did.
So anyway, keep everybody's feet to the fire, if you will, and just stay in the Word.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in, making your comment. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Oh, folks, we're just up against the break here. We'll come back at the end of this break, and we'll finish up our hour. The last 15 minutes, if you've got a phone call, the number is 445-2473.
Folks, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition as we journey through the Bible together. And friends, we so much appreciate you listening this afternoon. We do want to encourage you to call at 445-2473. That's 445-2473. And Jess is sitting right in front of the computer. And give us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we're talking about a tract that was placed at the Cowboy Church where they talked about baptism, and in this tract, the man's name was DeHaan, and in this tract, he tries to show that the Bible does not say that baptism saves us. And so we've got a caller on the line. Caller, if you would, just give us your first name and then your question and your comment, if you would.
I'm Lee.
Okay.
And I'd like to say, so if you're not baptized, but you is right.
Caller, we're having a little bit of trouble with the, maybe you could turn down your radio. It's making your phone call cut out.
Okay.
Okay, turn down your radio just a little bit and repeat your question for us, please.
Okay, where do you go if you're not baptized and you lived a good life?
Okay. Well, the answer to that question would be John chapter 3 and verse number 5, John chapter 5 and verse number 3, where Jesus said that you cannot even see the kingdom of God. If we have not been baptized, then we cannot see the kingdom of God. And I'm sorry, it was John 3 and verse number 5. Listen to what Jesus said. Except a man be born again, and we've already shown that is baptism, Jesus said he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if the kingdom of God is heaven, then Jesus said and it is heaven, by the way, then Jesus said that if you are not born again, you will not go to heaven. So does that answer your question?
Okay. So if you're not baptized, you don't go to heaven.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Now there is, again, we would like to remind you, when we started, we gave the definition of baptism, and we gave the purpose of baptism. And and to be baptized for the correct reason is just as important as being baptized in the correct manner. And the reason is for the remission of sins. Now, you need to be very careful that when you're baptized, that you're not baptized for another reason other than that. That's what the Bible says in several different places, that it is for the remission of sins. That is the purpose of it. It puts us into Christ. It puts us into the kingdom. It puts us into the church. It puts us into the blood-bought institution of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It washes away our sins in that new birth. It gives us a brand new start in life. We get to start over like a brand new baby, without sin, without blemish, without spot. And right there, we are to take the Word and abide in that Word, or let the Word of God guide our lives through the rest of our life. And that will be living by faith, because that Word of God is faith. And so you need to be sure that you are being baptized for the correct reason, or it will be a whole lot like going down to the lake and getting wet.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have another question or comment?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling, Lori.
Uh-huh.
David, something that we haven't actually talked about, the man in this track has referred to Romans chapter 6 quite often, and so I want to just look at what Paul actually says in Romans chapter 6. We got another call coming. Caller, if you would give us your first name. And also give us your comment, and you might turn down your radio if it's on, because we had a little problem just a moment ago.
Okay, in Matthew chapter 7.
Yes.
Verses 21 through 23.
Yes.
Maybe you could apply that to that last caller.
Okay.
If you would, look at it, please, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So very clearly, Jesus said, just verbalizing Lord, Lord is not enough. We've got to do the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. And Jesus brought the will of the Father. And the will of the Father includes baptism.
Absolutely. And we've seen that over and over and over, scripture after scripture after scripture, that baptism is included in the plan of salvation that God has had in mind since the before the foundation of the world.
David, I want to go back to this Romans chapter 6. And as we said, in this tract, this man deals with Romans chapter 6, and he says that we are saved before we're baptized. Now, we've clearly established that that's what he's saying. But then he talks about Romans chapter 6, and I want you to listen to Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now, David, I've got a question. Do you bury someone that's alive, or do you bury somebody that's dead?
Dead.
But if we are alive the moment we receive Jesus into our heart, and then later on we're baptized, and that baptism is a burial, then according to this man, we bury live people.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Friends, does that make sense to you? Now, listen to what he said. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, listen to verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," that means we die, Listen to this, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. So, David, according to this man, we bury people when they're alive. And then I don't know what goes on.
Well, I'm confused. And throughout this book, if you will just look at it and you will just read it, we're talking in circles here. He spends, 13, 14 pages telling us that baptism is not necessary, that baptism does not remove sin. And then in page 15, he says that baptism is not an option. Now, I don't understand that. If baptism is not important, and if baptism does not remove sin, if baptism does not account for the new birth, if baptism doesn't save us, if baptism doesn't put us in the kingdom, then why in the world would it be something that we've got to do?
I can't answer that. You
when you get away from the Word of God, you come up with some silly stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many letters this fellow got behind his name. I'm sure he's got several. I don't know. I don't know the man. I'm sure he may have been sincere when he put this together. But the fact of the matter is, he had help misunderstanding what God had to say.
Well, David, let's just read a little bit more in this track. On page number 10, he says, what does Acts 2:38 mean when it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? Now, I'm quoting, here is a possible explanation.
Now, well, that's already got a hole in it.
Well, friends, I don't want a possible explanation. I want to know what the Word of God actually says. And so he says, A.T. Robertson, a well-known Greek scholar, has pointed out that the Greek preposition eis, or ace, translated for in the phrase for the remission of sin, may also mean, now get this, friends, it may also mean because of. So he's saying that we are to repent and be baptized because our sins have already been forgiven. That's what he's trying to say that word means. But David, what does Matthew 26 have to say in light of that?
Well, this has to do with the Lord's Supper and the remembrance of the Lord's Supper. And he instituted the Lord's Supper up in that upper room. And here is what he has to say in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 28. He says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. That's the very same language that we're using over there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38.
David, it's exactly the same in the English, and it's exactly the same in the Greek. So mm-hmm. If you want to argue English or Greek, it doesn't matter. But Jesus said, now listen, if this possible explanation is right, here's what Jesus said. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many because of the remission of sins.
Well, that means that Jesus died for nothing.
That's right.
If it's right one place, it's got to be right in another place.
I would have to say amen, David. I just don't see how this works at all. It does not work at all.
No, not at all.
Now, this man says about Acts 22 and verse 16, and we've already talked about this. Listen to what he says. We know, this is page 12, we know that Saul was forgiven the very moment he met Christ on the Damascus Road and believed on him.
Well, how do we know that?
Well, boy, I don't know, David. But we'll look at that.
Okay.
Now, listen to this. We are therefore safe in concluding that his baptism was the outward and physical sign of his inward and spiritual cleansing from sin by the grace of God. So it was an outward sign of an inward grace. Well, let's put that baby to the test and see if it works or not. Let's just turn over to Acts chapter 22, friends, and listen to what we find in Acts chapter 22. Now listen to this. Ananias said, and now why tarryest thou? What are you waiting on? Now you remember that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and in Acts 22 and verse 16, or in Acts 22 and verse 10, he asked Jesus, what shall I do, Lord? Jesus said, you go into the city of Damascus to be told what you need to do. So he goes into the city of Damascus. Now he gets a man by the name of Ananias. And Ananias says, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." David, what sins did he need to have washed away if he was saved 3 days ago on the road to Damascus?
Well, he shouldn't have any sins at all. And by the way, those 3 days he was on his knees praying.
That's right.
And
fasting.
For 3 days he can't do anything about his sins, and there's only one explanation for it. He can't pray them away until he has them washed away in that watery grave of baptism.
Why didn't Jesus just tell him on that road to Damascus, "Well, Saul, all you got to do is accept me as your personal Savior"?
That's not his key to entrance into the kingdom.
Why didn't he say, "Saul, just say the sinner's prayer"?
Because that's not his plan of salvation. That's man's plan of salvation.
Friends, we hope you see what David and I are trying to do. We're not trying to be ugly or mean-spirited, but we've got a lot of people that are writing a lot of things that are not in accord with the Word of God. And David and I, at the request of an individual, did this track over the air just so you'll see what men will do to get away from a clear, simple teaching of the Word of God. Now, I know we're just about out of time. We do appreciate you tuning in to our program. Now, I'm not going to be here next week. Brother Michael Light's going to be filling in for me, and so I'll be back in a couple of weeks. But David is going to be back next week, and so, David, I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, and if anyone has any questions to ask about this and you don't feel comfortable over the radio, call the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville.